Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melba and podcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, the life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. Welcome to part one of a two-part program featuring the life and times of 90-year-old Marjorie Collins. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves and it's great to have you join me for another wonderful Listen to Older Voices program. Born in 1930 in Horsham, Victoria, Marjorie makes it clear that although this was a period when many were suffering from the Great Depression, she and her family were somewhat isolated. In discussing her early years, she recalls that most of her early memories were of her grandparents, scones, big gardens, and good times. We follow her story through her school years from primary school through to teachers' college. In fact, in one way or another, schools and education play a significant part of her story. While she was attending primary school in Horsham, she connected with the son of the headmaster. His name was Alan Collins, and he would eventually become her husband. On becoming a teacher, Marjorie is sent to her first school in Patchewaluk in rural Victoria, which resulted in an inevitable long-distance relationship with Alan. However, on becoming his wife, when Alan is ordained as a minister, Marjorie leaves teaching to assist her husband. Now, her story takes on that of her as the wife of a minister, where, although she's happy, she discovers that the wife of a minister sometimes leads to a very basic lifestyle. Let's make a start. Here I am, talking with Marjorie. Ellen, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me into your home.
Quite all right.
Can I start by asking you, where were you born and whereabouts were you born?
I was born in Horsham, Victoria, in, I think it was Wesley Private Hospital. There was the Wimmera Base Hospital, and at that stage, when I was born in 1930, there was a private hospital, Wesley it was called.
Right. 1930, they were the Depression years, weren't they?
Yeah, that's right.
Do you have any memories of the Depression?
Not very much at all, because it didn't really affect us very much. My father worked in a big store in Horsham called Langlands, and he was, not all the time, but he was sort of head of the office, and then he was general manager, and so we never really wanted for anything much when we were
you were quite kids. Fortunate that way.
Yeah, we were very, very lucky, and Mum and Dad had their own house built, so, you know, we were fine.
Mm. What can you remember, though, from those years as a young girl?
Oh, I had a sister, 2 years younger than me, a brother who was 12 years younger than me, my paternal grandparents lived in Horsham, not very far away from the school, and we used to visit them after school.
Right.
The state school, I went to Horsham State School.
Right.
My sister and I both. And we'd often go and see our grandparents in the afternoon after school, because they were only a 5-minute walk from the school. And the thing we always remembered most about Grandma was that she was always baking scones, and so we'd be sure of having scones when we went to Grandma's after school. And the other thing, that she had a big garden, they were keen on gardening. Her husband was the local blacksmith.
Oh, right.
And so there was a horse. I never, ever rode the horse, but my mother was a very good horsewoman. She used to ride in the Horsham shows and things like that. So Grandma was a great gardener. She was always working out in the garden. They had a big backyard, and down one side of the backyard there was a whole row of grapevines against the fence, and there were these most luscious black ones.
Which you were allowed to pick, of
Which
course.
Which we were allowed to pick, yes. So they were scrummy. And what else? I had an old dog, his name was Sandy.
Things you remember. Yes.
I remember Sandy. Sandy always used to come and meet us when we got to the front gate. He was a great old dog.
Was grandmother and grandfather, were they born in Australia or did they come to Australia?
Yeah, I think they were both born in Australia. They lived in Camperdown for many years, but beyond that, I don't really know. Mm-hmm. My mother was born in Camperdown.
Right. You mentioned mother. What sort of woman was she? How would you describe her?
There's a picture of her over there. They're short. Like me.
Was she a good cook?
She was a good cook. She was a great sewer. She used to make all our clothes. She had a lovely soprano voice. She was a good cook. Not a flash cook, but a good cook.
And she had a good voice.
She had a lovely soprano voice. She used to sing in the church choir.
Right.
And...
Was she a good mum to her kids?
Oh, yes, she was. She was great. She was good. And she looked after us very well. She was, she was just mum and she was always there. Yeah, she was great.
What about Dad? What sort of person was he?
Very down to earth and precise. He was an accountant, so... That probably sums him up fairly much, but he was very interested in local affairs and sort of interested in everything that went on around the town and things like that. And they both belonged to the Methodist Church. We were all Methodists.
Right.
So we were brought up in that tradition, always went to church on Sundays. Always had a new hat for the Sunday school anniversaries. All those sorts of strange things. Nothing very exciting went on.
What was it like growing up as a kid in that period?
Fine. And I never really had any hassles about growing up. We didn't have a car for many, many, many years. We used to just walk everywhere or ride our bikes and... rode our bikes to school, or when we were small, Dad used to double dink us on his bike. He had a bike and he used to ride his bike to work, and I'd sit on the bar and his sister would sit on the carrier at the back. And
so you double dinked both of you at the same time?
At the same time. And he'd dink us as far as the main street where he worked.
Right.
And then we'd walk the rest of it, just a couple of blocks.
So it must have been a very healthy lifestyle.
To the school. Ah, yes, it was. It was a good spot to live. It was a big town. It wasn't a city in those days. It's a city now. And we lived about a 10-minute walk from the main shops, and all in behind us was open paddocks down. You'd walk for maybe 10 minutes and you'd be at the Wimmera River.
Oh, right.
So it was very pleasant, and the property belonged to people called Langlands, and they were the people who owned the big department store, and that was where my dad worked.
Your family home when you were a young girl in the 30s, did that have electricity?
At first we had gas lighting and an open fireplace.
So Mum would have been cooking on a wood stove then?
On a wood stove.
Wood-fired stove, yes. Mm. So compared to today, that would be seen as doing it really hard. But she probably wouldn't have seen it that way.
Oh, no, I don't think she saw it that way.
Mm.
I mean, the kitchen, the house was, weatherboard house, was very comfortable. We had an open fire in the dining room, a lounge room attached. We had a piano. My sister and I both learned the piano. And there were three bedrooms, back veranda, laundry, more or less attached to the outside, and a good-sized garden, and with a lot of hedges. Dad was always cutting the hedges. He'd just get one not finished, you'd have to start again.
So like they're painting the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Yeah.
Do you remember getting electricity then? Do you remember that time?
No, not that really.
It was just there, just one day.
Well, maybe we might have had electricity.
So did you have a radio?
Yes, we had a radio.
Because they were a central feature of family life.
We had a radio. We used to listen to it all the time. Particularly, Mum used to listen to Blue Hills.
Oh, gosh, that went for years, yes. Didn't it? Yes.
The ABC presents episode 5000 of Blue Hills by Gwen Meredith. It's the day of Granny's 90th birthday, and there's been a great deal of excitement. Typically, Ed doesn't approve of anniversaries. But meanwhile, back in Dunvegan, Meg and Jim review the day's proceedings with Granny.
And this is Listen to Older Voices, Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio. I'm Rob Greaves and I'm talking with Marjorie Collins. And Marjorie is recalling her early childhood years. Was your primary school, do you recall?
It was Horsham Primary School.
Were they good years there?
Yeah, they were. The school was divided into two sections. They were both in the same street on either side of the road. Preps 1 and 2 were on one side, and then 3, 4, 5 and 6 were on the other side. It was a good school, and they had good teachers.
So you obviously enjoyed it?
Oh, yes, school was never a hassle.
Right. Did you have many friends?
Yes, quite a lot of friends in Horsham, but wouldn't have a clue where any of them are.
Oh, we're talking about a long time
now,
ago, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yes, we certainly are.
Yeah.
How many years did the family stay in Horsham? Till you grew up, or did they move at some stage?
We stayed in Horsham. They didn't move down to Melbourne until... oh, I can't remember when it would have been.
Were you still a young girl, or were you growing up at that stage?
I was at the state school from 1936. That's when I turned six.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went through high school.
I mean, that was in Horsham?
In Horsham.
Oh, okay.
I was head prefect at Horsham High School.
So can I just ask you about that? Obviously, you were doing very well at school then to be made prefect.
Oh, well, there were a lot of us. I did all right at school.
Yeah.
And then I went to Teachers College in Ballarat.
So what you did to year 11, or was Form 5, did you?
I did matriculation.
You did matric, so you went to year 12, yes. That was
yes.
Matric, wasn't it?
Yes, so I did matriculation. And I also, I'd been learning the piano all this time, and I also did my AMSA, Australian Music Associates, which is a higher one up from matriculation.
Right. So
after high school, I did a year as a student teacher at Horsham State School.
Do you remember that year? Do you remember your first time walking into the classroom?
Yeah, I remember it reasonably well. I married the son of the headmaster from that year. They'd moved from down in Gippsland and come to Horsham. And the funny part about it was that they didn't have anywhere to live when they came to Horsham. There wasn't a schoolhouse readily available. So they boarded with my grandmother. And that's where I first met my husband when we were 16.
What was his name?
Alan.
Alan.
Yeah. And he had a twin sister, Margaret, and an older brother and sister. Anyway, they boarded with my grandma. And then Alan and I were both head prefects the same year at high school.
Right.
And then I went to Teachers College and he eventually became a Methodist clergyman. Oh. So we moved around all over the place.
So, okay, let's go back a little bit first because you've obviously married at that stage. Before you got married, how long did it take you to recognise that he was going to be the man in your life? Was that quick or did it take time to develop?
I don't know. I suppose we'd have been 18 or 19.
So it was 2 or 3 years because you met him when you were 16, right? Mm. Yes.
Mm.
What were some of the things you did as a young couple before you got married? Did you go to dances or pictures or what did you do?
Alan couldn't dance. He was a terrible dancer. we used to go to the pictures. We used to go to... We both belonged to a church social group.
Oh, okay.
And so we did quite a few things with that.
Mm.
And around about that time, we acquired a car, a little Ford Prefect.
Right.
Finally. And we used to spend a lot of our time, or nearly every holidays, we'd go out to Zumsteins in the Grampians. And Zumsteins were the name of the people. Mr. Zumstein had built 4 cottages. And the place became, this was at the foot of the Grampians on the Horsham side, not the Stall side, the Horsham side. And Mr. Zumstein built 4 cottages, red, green, blue, can't remember the other one, yellow doesn't sound right. But we always went every year almost, sometimes twice. And we'd go out and stay in one of these cottages. And this was our summer holidays.
Right.
It was
great.
So we just play around the creek. And he also built a swimming pool the size of a tennis court. There used to be a tennis court. And he worked it all out and built this lovely
pool.
Goodness
me. Okay.
Yeah, incredible fellow.
Yes.
And this is Listen to Older Voices, a program that presents the stories of everyday Australians through the recollection of their lives.
So you and Alan, you got married in what year?
1955.
So you would have been 25 years of age.
That's
right. Right. Mm. And had you started teaching or was it still only the 1 year that you'd done when you got married?
No, I started teaching. I spent a year in Ballarat Teachers College after a student year.
Mm.
And then Alan's brother said to me, he was a teacher, he said to me, "I bet you get sent to Patchewaluk." Do you know where Patchewaluk
is? No, I've never even heard of it.
Patchewaluk is west of Orion. And west of Patchewaluk is the little desert.
So it's really in the getting towards the middle of nowhere.
I got sent.
You did.
I got sent to Patchewaluk. And I always thought he conspired against me to have that happen. But it wasn't unusual. Actually, it was a good little school. It was a 4-teacher school.
Oh, okay. So it was fairly big.
Yeah, well.
It was in a one-room classroom.
It had a brick building that housed grades 3, 4, 5, and 6. They'd brought in one of the little country schools, which housed preps 1 and 2, and they were the grades I took, preps
right.
1 and 2, out in this little country room, and then they had another one that they used for woodwork and sloyd and stuff, you know.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, and so it was a good little school. The headmaster was very good. He and his wife had a house sort of on the same property, which was a schoolhouse.
Did you enjoy teaching kids?
Oh, yeah, it was fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so how did you keep a relationship with Alan going when you were in patchy wallow in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, it was easy. Well, we both had family in Horsham.
So that was your central...
So we used to meet up for holidays and we wrote letters to one another and one note. It just
did. It just did, yeah. So you got married in 1955, was it?
1955.
Whereabouts, in Horsham?
In Horsham, at the Methodist Church.
Right. Was it a lovely ceremony?
Quite simple ceremony.
Quite simple.
And not huge, but we had a reception at the in the town hall supper room.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Alan, had he been ordained at this stage?
No.
Right. Oh, he was still teaching then, was he?
He went to Queen's College.
Right.
And did an arts degree.
Right.
And then he got ordained for the Methodist ministry.
Was it a calling or what? Why do you think he moved into that area? Why did he become a minister?
He and his family had always been closely associated with the church.
Mm.
His father was a teacher. Yeah, I suppose in a sense you'd say it was a calling. He suddenly decided, yes, this is what he was going to do. So, yeah.
Did that mean you had to stop teaching?
No, not then, it didn't. I went to Patchawalla for 2 years and then I moved to Melbourne and taught at Murrumbina State School.
Boy, that was from one extreme to another, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, of course. And went to board with two elderly ladies, so it was very interesting. And rode my bike to do the shopping and everything, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. And Alan was in Queen's College at that stage.
Oh, okay. So you actually got to see each other because it wasn't that far away.
Yeah.
So you say, when I asked you whether you had to give up teaching when Alan became a minister, you said not at that stage. When did that happen? And why did it happen?
I did give up because when we got married, our first appointment was East Devonport in Tasmania.
Oh, okay. So that's a major move.
It was a major move.
Yes.
Yeah. East Devonport in Tasmania, and I didn't go back to teaching.
No. What was it like being the wife of a new young minister in his first parish in a strange place? Because you've got no family and friends there.
Oh, it was all right. We managed it. Everyone was very kind and helpful. We actually lived in a new house that had been built at East Devonport at the time, and everyone was good. They helped us get the garden in shape, and I remember the garden was mainly rubble, round stones.
Oh, goodness.
It was absolutely terrible. But it was a very nice house, and I didn't do much apart from I had two children born in Devonport.
A boy and a girl?
Boy and a girl. And we were in Devonport for 4 years, 3 years.
Well, it'd be safe to say you were there for 3 to 4 years.
Oh, wait a minute. Brian was born in 1956 in Devonport. Ruth was born the end of October in Devonport. And then we must have moved. We moved to Deloraine, which was a bit further inland.
Yes.
And that would have been the end of 58, 1958.
Right. So that meant leaving the home that you'd established and your gardens and...
Well, in those days, the homes, your home belonged to your church.
We never
owned a home.
No.
We just went where we were put.
Mm. Did you enjoy Deloraine? Was that a nice place?
Yeah, it was freezing cold. It was a nice spot.
But cold.
I'm sort of down below the Western Tiers. Yeah, it was freezing. And the house at Deloraine was built up high. You had to go about 10 steps. So the wind used to whistle along underneath. And the only heating we had was an open fireplace.
Oh, dear.
And I think that burned most of the time, and I had a baby, so I had nappies to get dry. And,
oh, that would have been a difficult life.
Oh,
well. But you take it and you just do it.
It never worried me, you know.
You just take it under your.
Yeah.
What is life like for the wife of a minister?
Well, they expect you to know where everything is the minute you walk in the door. But on the whole, I just made friends as I went along. There was never any real great hassle to it. One of the funny things I remember was, I think it must have been that we went to Deloraine, and I'd only been there 2 minutes, and somebody asked me where something was, and I didn't have the faintest idea. Why ask
but you
me?
Must know, you're the wife of the minister, you're supposed to know.
You're the minister's wife, you should know.
That's right.
Join Marjorie and I next week for the conclusion of a story of how she returns to teaching, of the travelling she and Alan did, and of life after Alan's passing. Next week, Marjorie Collins on Listen to Older Voices. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.